This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. It's not easy being green. Kermit the Frog gets a star today on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but he's worried about how a certain female co-star might take the news.
Piggy didn't get the star, but she doesn't really know that yet. But I kind of doubt that she listens to NPR somehow.
Kermit's also been very busy this year commemorating the 25th anniversary of one of television's most beloved shows. In 1976, Jim Henson transformed foam rubber, felt, and feathers into an unforgettable cast of characters, including Fozzie Bear.
Did you hear the one about the nut who joined the army?
Sure, they made him a colonel.
The Swedish Chef. The hecklers in the balcony, Statler and Waldorf.
Are you ready for the end of the world?
Sure, it couldn't be worse than this, y'all.
And a few pigs, rats, monsters, and singing chickens. Jim Henson also created the characters on Sesame Street, Bert, Ernie, Big Bird, and Friends, but The Muppet Show was his primetime showcase. It ran for 5 seasons, but almost didn't get on the air at all. Jerry Jewell, the head writer for The Muppets, says the show was rejected by all the U.S. television networks.
The word was that puppetry just wasn't suitable for primetime television.
In other words, the networks thought puppets were for kids, but Henson originally created The Muppets for adults.
Jim had been to Europe and really appreciated the way Europeans have used puppetry for adult satire. Then suddenly Sesame Street happened, and he was the king of children's entertainment, and he loved that. But he immediately wanted to go on and do something for adults.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night!
One attempt to bring the Muppets to an adult audience did little to help Henson's cause. In 1975, the Muppets joined the Not Ready for Primetime Players for the first season of Saturday Night Live. Henson created a cast of lizard-like aliens who sought wisdom from a talking stone idol.
What are you doing?
I was just on my way to the mighty Favard.
This is the mighty Favard. How many in your party?
Puppeteer Jerry Nelson performed Floyd, the guitar player on The Muppet Show. He says the Muppets and Saturday Night Live were not a good fit. Cast member John Belushi hated the puppets, and the show's producer provided little support.
I don't think Lorne Michaels ever really wanted us there. And I think it was like the writer who drew the short straw had to write for the Muppets that week.
After about a dozen episodes, the Muppets left Saturday Night Live, but not before Jim Henson had pulled off a major deal. Henson traveled to London and met with the cigar-smoking British entrepreneur Lord Lew Grade. Henson took with him 2 pilot episodes of a Muppet television show. One of the pilots was a gentle Valentine's Day special featuring Mia Farrow.
Love is so many things, light as an angel's wings.
I think that love is fine.
The second Muppet pilot had a decidedly different flavor.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the end of sex and violence on television.
The Muppet Show Sex and Violence featured many soon-to-be-familiar characters, the Swedish Chef, Sam the Eagle, and the band leader, Dr. Teeth. But the host was a human-like puppet named Nigel, who was trying to organize a television tribute to the 7 deadly sins.
I think that I shall never see a thing as beautiful as me.
Okay, that's vanity, right? Uh-huh. Okay, dressing room across the hall. Next!
Thank
Who's next?
I love to crunch. I love to munch.
Okay, gluttony, right? Okay, next. Who's next?
Hi, I'm leafy green vegetables.
That's not one of the 7 deadly sins, is it?
Oh, I thought this was 7 basic foods.
No. That's Studio B across the hall.
Oh, my agent does this every time.
Hey.
Lew Grade liked both pilots and agreed to bankroll the show. In 1976, Henson and company moved to London to begin production of the first season of Muppet Madness.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Muppet Show!
The atmosphere was amazing.
Puppeteer Steve Whitmire played Rizzo the Rat on The Muppet Show.
It was this explosive time where Jim had been trying to get this show on the air for years. I mean, he'd always had this idea for a primetime show, and suddenly it was happening and it was successful, and he had enormous creative freedom. All these ideas that had been stuffed in there for all these years were just bursting out.
Here's the next patient, Dr. Bob.
It's a dog. I hope he doesn't have fleas.
Why not?
I hate to start from scratch. Oh, I wish he was a dachshund.
Why?
I'd like to get a long little doggy.
No!
Tune in next week when you'll hear Nurse Piggy say...
Dr. Bob, I think the patient is running a fever.
Oh, well, go get some mustard.
Mustard?
That's what you always put on a hot dog.
The most annoying thing that would happen to me when we were doing the Muppet Show is people would run into me and find out what I did, and the first thing they would say is, oh, you're the one who writes those jokes.
Head writer Jewel says the best Muppet humor had little to do with punchlines, good or bad.
It wasn't about the jokes, it was about the characters and the relationship of those characters and developing those characters.
Spontaneity also was a key ingredient. Gonzo the Great originally was created as a crooked-nosed daredevil who did bizarre stunts. But Jim Henson felt the character was too sad, and puppeteer Dave Goles admitted he was not sure how to perform him.
I remembered thinking, well, I'll use a little nasal voice like this. And then I thought, well, he's such a scruffy-looking little guy that perhaps it would be gravelly. So I'll take that little voice like that and add some of this. And in the beginning, I was so scared about doing that character that he had a little bit of a babyish kind of way of speaking. But now he's like a totally casual guy.
One day, Goles ad-libbed a line about a chicken with nice legs. That was just the nugget the writers needed to bring Gonzo to life.
Oh, not to worry, Kermit. Chickens are much too fickle, so I'm developing a new obsession.
Really? What could possibly replace chickens in your life?
Hold on to your collar. Hmm? Asparagus!
A spontaneous karate chop. Helped the writers transform Miss Piggy from chorus girl to strong leading lady. I mean, pig. Anyway, here she is performing with guest star Elton John.
Don't go breaking my heart, Miss Piggy.
I won't go breaking your heart.
Don't go breaking my
darling.
Don't go breaking my
heart.
Don't go breaking my heart.
The Muppet Show ended in 1980. After 5 seasons, Jim Henson felt it was time to try something new. A long list of movies and television shows followed before Henson died of pneumonia in 1990.
It's not easy being green.
It's been more than 20 years since Kermit, Miss Piggy, and company have appeared regularly on TV. But that's about to change. A new special, It's a Very Muppet Christmas, airs on NBC the day after Thanksgiving. And there are plans for a new Muppet show on Fox. All made possible, says Dave Goles, by the enduring appeal of the original Muppet Show.
The Muppets have endured because they're about the truth. They really present human foibles, and also they express the connection between us, too. You know, this is a group of characters who you wouldn't expect to coexist normally. Piggy and somebody like Gonzo, and all of these strange characters wouldn't have gravitated together without Kermit. And that's exactly the parallel to what happened with our group. Jim was the glue that held together. He was the appreciator who appreciated all sorts of different people. And I've always said that, you know, the people who worked for Muppets, especially in those early years, were all so different that in their natural habitats they would have killed each other. Yet under Jim we found a way to love each other. And that drama played out over and over again.
Puppeteer Dave Goles. There are Muppet pictures and video clips on NPR.org.
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.